Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Jeffers. I want to welcome you to the Mystical... if I can talk today, that'll be good. I want to welcome you to the Mystic Oracle Show. And I also want to wish you a happy Ten of Diamonds Day, because it's really an incredible day today. So we have things to talk about and open lines and... I have my student Angela here with me, so we're probably going to have some conversations about the cards. We'll see what happens. First of all, if this is your first time to the show, I want to invite you to go peruse my website, which is starthemagi.com, because I explain how the cards connect with a calendar. Just click on the cards. And you can read about how the cards align with the calendar. Not many people know that the card deck, the deck of 52 playing cards, was originally a calendar used for timekeeping. So I talk about that on there, and I align the cards with the calendar for you so you can see that. And then also you can look up your birthday card there if you like and see the card that governs the day of your that you were born, and you can also sign up for the card of the day there, which is a free service that I offer, and I email you the card of the day every day, which is also in the back of my book, but I tend to add information when I write that card at night before I send it out. So if you're really interested in this, I suggest you can explore it, and of course you can always unsubscribe anytime you like. So I think what I really want to start with today is talking about the day. Oh, the other thing I wanted to tell you is that if you want to email me a question, you can at starofthemagi@earthlink.net while we're on the radio. Or you can call in. The numbers are there on your computer screen. But what I wanted to start by doing today, and maybe it's because the Ten of Diamonds just loves attention, is I want to read the card for the day, what I wrote, because I don't always do this, but today it feels important. This is a powerful day of good fortune and a great day for business and perhaps investing. The greatest challenge of this day could be emotional imbalance, which can get in the way of clear thinking. Desires can be overpowering, and people could be self-absorbed or selfish. Be careful on the road as these behaviors show up there. Take care today and make solid choices from logic while being true to your gut feelings. This card, Soul Card, is the Queen of Clubs. So this card... You know, the Ten of Diamonds is like the pot at the end of the rainbow. And, what did I say? Oh, this card, Soul Card, is the Queen of Clubs. Spirit Card. Sorry. My student is pointing out. Angela is pointing out I just said something inappropriate. But, one of the things that I wanted to point out that about this day and what this card teaches us is that gratitude is the secret to abundance. The Ten of Diamonds is known as the blessed card. And at the same time, those born with this birthday have to work hard for what they want. They get it. However, they have to work hard. And I feel that that hard work is actually an expression of gratitude, a way of saying thank you for what's coming. And I believe that that's what this card teaches us today, that when we're grateful and we're living in the gratitude, that we open the channels for good fortune to come our way. And I think that the greatest thing that we can do in this life is express our appreciation through serving, through working, through manifesting who we are. And boy, there's a lot going on here right now. Sorry. So, with that being the focus, gratitude, because I really believe that gratitude is the secret to abundance. And also, I feel that in order to empower ourselves, we do that by empowering other people. I'd like to open the lines up and invite you to call in. And you can ask me questions. You can ask me questions about the cards. The thing that's been most prominent on my mind lately is the election. I mean, I've never followed politics this closely in my life. I've been watching everything that's going on, and I have some real opinions about what's happening. And I don't know, have you, Angela, have you been... Thank you for being here, by the way. Have you been observing what's going on with the elections at all?
Actually, not until I read your blog.
Oh, well, good. I inspired you to think
about
something.
Yeah.
And do you have any feelings about it? I mean, one of the things that I put on there, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but, you know, it worries me that people don't... We as human beings often have a tendency to see what we want to see and ignore what we don't want to see. We do it all the time. We do it with relationships. We see potential. We see what we want to see. Even when we see things that maybe aren't going to work for us or maybe challenge us in some way, we can often have a tendency to override that by justifying things. And I see that, you know, happening right now in the election. I've seen some blatantly obvious things that are frightening to me in the debate. And people laugh and think it's cute, and it's not cute. It's frightening. And so, you know, it's that way. Hello? You know, so I don't want to get too dramatic or intense about this, but I, you know, with myself, I really try to keep my eyes open when I'm looking at things. I'm just nearly finished the manuscript for my book. Actually, my publisher is having a meeting about that as we speak. And it's on, my new book is about relationships. And I feel that relationships, you know, that's what we do here on this planet. We relate. We relate to everything. We relate to everything in our physical environments. We relate to everything in space. We relate to time. You know, and our primary relationship is the one we have with ourselves. I would even dare to say it could be more prominent than the one we have with the Creator, because the one we have with ourselves is going to determine how we're in relationship with everything and everyone else. And we see that relationship reflected around us everywhere all the time. We see it in other people. I recently did a relationship survey that I put out, and a lot of you responded, and I want to thank you for that. And I was really moved by the answers and just the fact that people were so open and trusting and honest with their answers. And, you know, one of the things that came up for me when I was reading the answers is how easy it is for us to project who our stuff onto someone else. And rather than take responsibility for it with ourselves first, because I think that behaviors in other people with us are usually a reflection of how we are in relationship with ourselves. And when something happens that isn't pleasant or feels degrading or disempowering or betraying in some way, I think the first stop in the process has to be turning around 180 degrees and asking myself, how am I in relationship with myself in this way? How am I misunderstanding myself? How am I betraying myself? If we repeatedly call the wrong man or wrong woman into our life, there's a pattern there. Maybe we don't believe we deserve what we want. Maybe we believe we can't have what we want. Or maybe we're not owning our own power to begin with, and so we don't give ourselves permission to have that compliment. And every time I know, you know, that whoever is showing up, whether it's the phone man who was here yesterday or the homeless person that just asked me for money, the cashier at the drugstore, somebody I love, my dance partner, my son, whoever it is, short term, 1 minute, long term, lifetime, everything in between. I feel like each and every person that I connect with is a mirror for me to see myself, to see how incredibly beautiful I am, to see how stubborn I might be, to see how I honor myself, to see if I don't. Whatever it may be, my responsibility is to first look at myself to see what this person's reflecting. I used to be part of a woman's circle, and we did this for a few years. It was years ago, and it was so beautiful, and these women are all very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, we would actually sit in a circle, and we would acknowledge one another. We would support each other in our visions and our dreams, and we would acknowledge the beauty that we saw within each other was really a reflection of ourselves. And I do believe that it changed our lives to recognize that. I'm not sure why I'm talking about this. You know, it's really interesting doing this because I can't see you. And I don't really know if you're there or not. But I do know. I can feel you. And, you know, and sometimes I talk and I'll start talking about something and I feel like a little light is going off in someone's heart or someone's mind out there. And then I'm saying something just for one person. And it's really special because the reason I do this relationship is for me it's a way of giving back. It's a way of me giving and sharing the gift that I have with this relationship I have with the cards, and also the gifts that come to me from working with this card, or these cards. So, Angela, do you have a question? Because I feel like you're thinking about something. Okay?
Yeah.
Tell me what it is. Speak up so they can hear you, okay?
Okay. So, speaking about relationships, and when you do the composite card of someone's birth card with someone else's birth card to see what governs their relationship, do you also match up their spirit card, their planetary ruling card, and their soul card to have four different aspects of what governs their relationship?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there's two different ways to look at relationships with the cards. One is you look at the composite cards, which is what you're talking about, and I'll explain that in a second. And these are the cards that actually are the relationships cards. They are the cards, like I have a birth card, I have a spirit card, you have a birth card, you have a spirit card, you have a life path, I have a life path. The relationship has a life path.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship has a birth card. The relationship has a spirit card. Okay?
Yeah.
So, the other way... Yes, so I do. I composite the birth card because this is the soul's expression of who we are. So it's the soul's expression of the relationship, right? We're walking that path. That relationship's going on that path. So whatever that card's relationship karma is, that's what the relationship is going to be living.
Wow.
You see?
So you looked at that.
This is what my new book is all about. I explain to people how to do this, and then I have a report about the relationship.
So you look to that composite card and you see their Mercury card, their Venus card, that Jupiter card off of that composite card and recognize that's their life path?
No. Okay. It's the relationship's life path.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you and I.
Yeah.
You're the Ten of Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the King of Diamonds. This is a Ten of Hearts relationship.
Mm.
Our cards together. So it's first bound by love.
Mm.
There's a tremendous amount of love embracing us in this relationship. A Ten of Hearts relationship is playful, it's loving, it's powerful because of the ten. It's in, you know, it's creative because the Ten of Hearts has the Jack of Hearts Club Spirit card. Okay, so the relationship itself is the Ten of Hearts. Now, if we look at the Spirit card of our relationship, what is underneath? My spirit card is the Three of Clubs. Okay? So the solar value for that is 16. Your spirit card is the Jack of Spades, which is 50. So this is 66. We subtract 52. We get 14, which is the Ace of Clubs. So this is all about new learning. So our relationship inspires both of us to research, to explore, to communicate, to share what we discover, to discover new things. And there's also a nice soul connection with that card because its spirit card is the Two of Hearts, which is union and love. Then when we put our planetary ruling cards together, mine being the Two of Diamonds and yours the Ten of Spades, see, we didn't know we were going to do this. So that's fun. We get the Queen of Clubs. So this is a wonderful intuitive connection that we have. I mean, there's mental clarity, there's respect, there's honor that we have for each other. And if we didn't respect and honor each other, it would be ugly. And, you know, we're very intuitive in our connecting with one another. So, and we see that in the way we dance and you studying with me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then our soul cards are the, yours is what, the Four Hearts?
Spades.
Oh, right. I was thinking the Ten of Spades. And mine is the Seven of Spades. Well, hello. Put the numbers down. So this gives us a Jack of Diamonds soul direction. So, you know, at some point we'll probably be in business together. So our soul card is what we bring into this life. So our relationship brings this, you know, clever, creative, you know, this is a great card for counseling. It's also a great card for business. So there's ways to look at relationships which can really help you understand. Then there are also other dynamics, you know, because we're moons and Marses and...
Right.
Suns, and we're all sorts of things. So
yeah.
There's two different ways. The reason I wrote this book on the composite cards is, first of all, no one has put this information out on the cards, and I don't know how much value people place on it. And to me, it's really, really important information because if you have a Nine of Spades relationship with somebody, that relationship is constantly going to be ending, beginning, ending, and beginning. The high side of that is recreation and reinvention of self and the opportunity to let go of absolutely every old bit of baggage that you have in your closet, under your bed, out in the trunk of your car, wherever it is, you know, emotionally and mentally, that kind of relationship is going to cleanse you. So, you know, I've talked so much about this on the radio about how the cards reveal to us who we are and what our path is, our path of self-mastery, our destiny, and, you know, and how we align with ourself. To me, the first relationship that has to be looked at and explored is me, because the more I know myself, the more fun I'm going to have being in this body. Mm-hmm. You know, the more I get to know myself, the more I understand what I embody and, you know, what I'm here to do, the easier it is for me to manifest in my life. I mean, and you know, I feel I am so grateful, you know, to be able to witness this, and I'm so grateful to be able to turn other people on to it, mm-hmm. because this is for every one of us, you know. Every one of us is here to, you know, Joan Collins said a long time ago, life is a banquet, and there's a lot of poor fools out there starving to death. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I may not agree with her ethics, because, you know, at least back then. However, when she said that, I knew that she was speaking the truth. I think she said that like 20, 30 years ago or something, you know. And it's like, it's true. If we're starving, we're starving ourselves, you know. I sat and had a conversation with a homeless boy a couple of weeks ago, a week before Christmas. And then on Christmas, I went and found him and gave him some money as a Christmas present. But I sat down and talked with him, you know, because he was so bitter about, you know, everybody driving Mercedes and this and BMWs in the Ralph's parking lot, and why weren't they helping him? And I said, you have to help yourself. I said, you can sit here and be a victim for the rest of your life. Is that how you want your life to be? You're 19 years old, you know. So, poor guy, he got a 30-minute lecture. But I really talked with him, and it was sweet. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I don't know if it did any good. Maybe it sunk in there and it'll sprout at some point. I don't know. Some seeds need time to germinate. But I know for a fact that, you know, no matter what our circumstances are, you know, we have the power to be in power. Mm. And
yeah.
We do. I had a dream one time. I was arrested. I was taken to prison. It almost felt like, I think it was a past life that I was dreaming, but I had this dream that this man was trying to rape my best friend, and I tried to stop him, my best friend in this life, but this was some other time, and I'll tell you how I know that in a minute, but he was raping her, and I shot him in the head and killed him, and so the next thing I know, I'm on a bus with a lot of women going to prison, and we're all shackled, and I have this, like, khaki-colored, straight, like, gunny sack bag on, and the prison floor was dirt. That's why I'm pretty sure it was past life. I don't know if there are any of those around. But, you know, and I remember as I was walking toward the cell thinking, well, I'm just going to do the very same thing I'm doing anyway in my life. You know, I'm going to be working on becoming who I really am and sharing what I know with everyone else. And it was the most incredible thing when I woke up from that dream, because it was one of those blatant moments. You know, it's like life exists inside. It exists inside of us. And that is the power that we have when we recognize that, is that there is no such thing as limitation. We create our limitations. We set them up. We justify, we rationalize. I have a rule for myself. If I start to justify or rationalize something, I know that I am not being honest with myself. You know what I mean? You can talk, by the way.
That's great. I'm just hearing it.
People are here jumping up and down the chair. It's like,
love it.
Be quiet.
I love it. Yes.
It's true.
Yeah. Would you say it one more time, that
when we're rationalizing, or what was the other word I used? How funny. Yes. Did you write it down?
I'm starting. Limitations.
Well, limitations, but if I'm justifying my
yeah.
actions or somebody else's, you know, I can remember, you know, a lot of times one of the things women do about men is they go,
yeah,
well, he's just afraid to commit. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. You know, if a man wants a woman, he's going to pee on every corner around her house. He's going to bang the door down, ring the telephone until she says, go away, I do not want you.
Yeah, absolutely.
She could say anything else, he won't go until she absolutely says that, you know? Mm-hmm. If a man is into a woman, you're going to know that. And if he's not, he's not. But there's he's afraid of commitment, we don't want our girlfriends to feel bad, you know. No, he's not the one. You know, it's like, and that applies to every aspect of my life because I am in relationship with everything in my life, right?
Mm.
That's what this whole physical plane is about. It's about relationships.
Yeah, and relating. Yeah, to everything. Sure.
Yeah, and where do we start relating? Inside of our own self.
Uh-huh.
We have an emotional neighborhood environment. We have a mental environment, you know, and we're in there. And see, one of the things that's so great is that the suits teach us about these environments. The hearts teach us about the emotional environment.
Mm-hmm.
The clubs teach us about our mental environment. You know, the diamonds teach us about our values and taking action, you know. And the spades teach us about determination and wisdom. And so, you know, we can learn in depth about each one of these things. And when we understand our own life path, and by the way, for those of you that are interested and those of you that have expressed an interest in studying with me, I am putting together a study program. And part of that will be with on the telephone as a group. And workbooks and CDs and all sorts of things. So, and it'll stretch out over time. But, and then I also do private tutoring, which I'm doing with Angela and a few other people as well. So, you know, understanding your own life path and the relationship that you have with yourself is numero uno. It's number one. And it's through understanding that then you know how to work your own cards. That's one of the things, you know, that I teach my clients in doing readings with them. You know, people get worried when the nine of spades shows up or the nine of this or the nine of that. You know, it's a bad, 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 bad. You know, and not, I don't think anything is bad. I feel everything is bringing an opportunity. A nine of spades is a major initiation in your life. But if you're not, you know, engaged in the process, it could bat you around a little bit to get your attention. Isn't that what life does? Listen, I had an experience on December 17th. I was coming home from having a root canal. Thank you very much. And I got rear-ended by an 18-wheeler on the freeway.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, I'm stuttering now because I have a little concussion. But, you know, four nights later, I'm at a stop sign, and the woman in front of me puts her car in reverse and backs into the front of my car. Now, you can look at my car, you can't tell anybody's hit it unless you get up close in the back and you can see that my brand new car has a cracked bumper, which will get fixed. But then, the next night, I'm in the gas station. Woman in front of me puts her car in reverse, starts to back up into my car.
Oh, my gosh.
I stopped her. But I got on the freeway and I said, okay, there's a message here for me. What is it? It wasn't like, why is everybody hitting me? You know,
right.
I thought, man, somebody's trying to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see me. Why can't anybody see me all of a sudden?
Mm.
And I realized, I got it in that moment. Because you're not allowing yourself to be visible 100%. And I knew exactly where that place was that I still was holding back from stepping out. And I said, okay. That's done. I'm out there. And the next day, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable, the opportunities that just came in the door, in the phone, everywhere. And it was just like me agreeing to being that visible.
Mm.
Now, if I would have gone into being a victim and thinking that life was out to get me because it's hitting me in the front, hitting me in the back, mm-hmm. you know, it would have been a totally different experience, and I could have missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Opportunity is always knocking. It's interesting because whenever I'm on the have a guest, people don't call in. Oh, let's see. All right. Justifying and defending. Okay, we are getting some emails. I thoroughly enjoy reading your cards of the day. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. I remember ordering da-da-da. Emily, I was watching this video that had leaked with Tom Cruise about Scientology, and it sounds like it's based a lot on The Secret. I am curious as to if it's a group of people that are uniting to create better world with positive thinking and the law of attraction. I was just curious about it. Since you live in LA, I thought you might know more about it. I only know one experience I have relative to Scientology. I hope that they are uniting to create a better world and positive thinking. When I was 17, the Scientology people showed up in my neighborhood. And I went and took their test. And they told me that I was too persuasive. And they sat across from me and made me listen. They said all these words to me, and I sat there, and I wasn't supposed to respond. And I did it, and then I just said, I think that what you want to do here is turn me into a carrot or something, a vegetable. And, you know, I was a sassy little teenager. But when they told me I was too persuasive, I thought that was unacceptable. Because I feel like the power of persuasion is it's a great thing. Is there someone on the phone? Because I keep hearing the phone pick up and hang up. Do we have a caller? No. It's funny. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's somebody going. So, Karen, your email came through, but there wasn't anything on it. Oh, I see what you were doing. You were reminding me what I had said, that I had said justifying and defending. I actually didn't say defending, but I'm glad you threw that word in there. I said rationalizing and justifying, and defending is another really good word. When we're doing any of those things, we're not being open and receptive to what life really has for us in the moment. I just had lunch with a friend of mine today, and she told me how this guy came to see her and wanted to pitch her for to get her support in a movie because she's friends with an actor that's a director as well, and blah, blah, blah. And she said she sat there for the whole first 20 minutes going, I don't want this guy in my office. I don't like this guy. I'm not interested in what he's doing. Until suddenly she found out that attached to his script, he had a lot of really major name people that wanted to support him if he got a good director. And I said, this is the thing, you know, when we meet life with anything other than openness and receptivity, we risk the chance of missing opportunities, you know. And it comes back to the thing, you know, in my book, I actually titled one of the subchapters, you know, Are our relationships destined? And I believe that they are every encounter. I mean, have you ever, like, gone somewhere and you pass somebody, and then when you're coming back 3 hours later, you pass them the other day?
Yeah, all the time.
It's like, come on, doesn't that, like, tip you off?
Totally.
That there's some timing thing going on
totally.
Here, you know? And timing is the essence of everything.
Well,
love it. So that's the power of working with the system, with the cards, is that, you know, you can look at time and see what's going on there. I taught a workshop up in Mountain View this weekend, Mountain View, California, at the East
yeah.
West Bookstore. And, you know, it was really great. It's always fun to teach that beginning level because things come out of me that, you know, I don't know how you say or think about because I'm really delving into what's underneath all this and what's inside of it. And it's such a powerful system, and it's special, you know. I think that all the oracles that we have are special. And I think anything that has numbers connected to it is profound, you know. I mean, a mathematician will tell you that you could figure out the entire universe with math. You can map it out. And that's what this system does with time. It's a map of time. It's the matrix of time. And, you know, when you can see it from perspective, it shifts your awareness into the fifth dimension, because then instead of being in time, which is the fourth dimension, you move out. We've all had times when we experience being out of time. You go, whoa, how did I get here an hour early? Or, you know, little things can happen in a moment or over a course of a few hours where you realize that you just had a timeless experience, you know. And, you know, what my experience has been within reading the system is that, and really getting to know the cards. And if you have a card deck, you know, this is new for you, go on my website and find your card and get a deck of cards and put your card out somewhere. And if you want to know your spirit cards, I have the spirit cards listed in my book, Cards of Destiny, which is a really nice book, by the way. And I'm not saying it just because it's mine, but, you know, it has nice birthday delineations in there. And I tell you what the spirit card is. And I show you how to do relationship composites. And your composite with the day as well, your relationship with the day.
I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if this is that clear. I know that you're really familiar with the Chinese calendar and with feng shui, of course. And my question is, I particularly believe that at the point of conception, you are conscious to some extent, so that when you're actually birthed, you're 9 months old.
Uh-huh.
3 months from then, you're 1 year old.
Uh-huh.
So when I read the cards, I often will question, am I really this age? Or, you know, is a year later after I was came out of the womb 1 year old? You know, it's a matter of perception there.
Okay.
So thinking about what you feel.
No, this is really, I love this question, because I believe that there is a correlation in the cards in conception, and that correlation is with our birth card. I can see that in my youngest son's cards, because I know exactly when he was conceived.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did a radio show at the end of June. If you want to go back and listen to this, I was in Denver, well, Boulder, when we did the show, and I was with a friend of mine, Donna Kokora, and she's a student.
I remember.
Yeah.
I listened.
And she works with births. She's got 7 kids of her own. And she works with births, birth mothers, birthing. She does counseling with moms. And she works with conception. And we started talking about how, you know, in a life path, so say I'm the King of Diamonds, that's my birthday card. So the first card in my life path, my Mercury card, is the Six of Hearts. And that card governs my childhood. Well, when my son Spencer was born, he was a Queen of Diamonds, and his first card is the Five of Hearts. When he was conceived, I started experiencing that energy in my environment, in my life. And what Donna and I were talking about in that show was how, with all of her kids, when she looks back, she can see how, as soon as they were conceived, the energy of their card came into the life and started shifting that life in that way. I mean, when you give birth to a Queen of Diamonds, your home life is going to change. We moved all the time. And it wasn't because we had to. It was just the way that Five of Hearts energy worked. There was a lot of movement in his childhood. And then 10 years later, when my other son was born, who's a Six of Clubs, his first card is a Six of Spades. Things became more stable. It started changing, and that energy came into play. And, you know, that's when I got aligned with, you know, my work. And that card represents a connection with your destiny. So, you know, it's really interesting, but for her to be able to look at her seven kids and see that, so the card that conceives us, I believe, is absolutely connected to our birth card.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, I would love to study this. In order to study this, I'd have to know when somebody was conceived and then when they were born. When somebody was conceived and then when they were born. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do have a friend that had artificial insemination, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I should ask her when they did that and see. But, so, you know, the age that we are from conception to birth, we're in between worlds. We're in between the spirit world and the physical world, really. Because we're being created during that time. So conception is a profound moment for all of us, for sure. And at the same time, it's like the conception of the body is a different conception than when we come out of the womb and then we begin a relationship in time, in this physical plane, I think.
Okay, so that's...
It's two different relationships,
got it.
Right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or am I just...
No, you completely make sense, and especially the last part when you said the relationship we have with the physical world by the time we come out, that's when you agree, oh, that's day one. That's your new relationship with the world. Thus, you would say...
You are a Ten of Clubs.
Okay.
Well, because that's when you start breathing the air. You know, prior to that, we're in this cosmic sea in the womb.
Right.
You know, and I'm not disregarding conception as a birth.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a transition, that time in the womb, where we go from being spirit, where we come into matter.
Right.
And then when we're born, you know, we start a relationship with time and space that's different than the one in the womb. However, they're connected.
Yeah.
And this would be an amazing, amazing study to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe put it out there, everyone that knows. If you know when you conceived your child, please send the day you conceived your child and their birthday, and let's do a study. Let's look at it.
Yeah.
Because it's fascinating. So if anybody wants to call in, let me see what time it is. We have 10 minutes. That's time for a couple of calls, a couple of readings on the phone, if anybody wants to call in. Let me check my email again and see if anybody's emailed. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Mystic Oracle with Sharon Jeffers and my guest, Angela
DiMario,
and she has two different last names, so I never know which one. And we're talking about the mystic science of the cards, which is based on the regular deck of playing cards and the fact that the playing card deck was originally calendar and used for time. You can go on my website, starofthemagi.com, and read about the cards there. And you can also go on my other website, which is itsallinthecards.com. And I want to thank everybody who, you know, I changed the format of the card of the day a little bit lately, and I've gotten a lot of emails, people saying they really like it. And I want you to know that I really love it when I get these little notes from you guys, if any of you are listening, because it's like receiving little love notes or something, you know. It's really sweet. And I'm always open to your suggestions for this show on topics that you want to discuss. It can be anything. It can be absolutely anything. One of the things that I would really like to do a show on in the very near future is parent-child relationships and who kids are in the cards, because I feel like there's a lot of information to be gained there about our kids, and that's why in my book, Cards of Destiny, for each birthday I put a little blurb about children. However, I'm actually writing a book about kids in the cards that's much more comprehensive, and that'll be coming out after my relationship book. So,
yahoo!
I know, it's so fun.
Yeah, that's really important.
It is important.
You know, I've been around a lot of strong-willed kids lately, and from, you know, being a nanny before to being a preschool teacher, just having friends with kids who go, I just don't know what to do. And I personally don't like to see parents just all the way give in and have the child just not have structure either. But I also celebrate when I see really strong-willed kids. And I've seen just an abundance lately where they're just not moving, not going to eat, not going to do anything, you know, that they're supposed to do if it means, you know, getting fed or anything. And it's like tremendous energy that they have. And so,
yeah, the
great.
Kids that are coming in now and are in, they're very powerful. And, you know, parents just need to learn how to communicate with them.
Yeah.
Instead of, because parenting needs to take on a different face, I think, where there's a recognition. I mean, I recognized with my kids, I had just turned 21 when I had my first son.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I saw right away that, I mean, when I looked into his eyes, both my kids when they were born, and I looked into their eyes, it was like, I felt like they knew things I didn't know. And, you know, they just looked at me and it was like, oh, my God. You know, looking into my first son's eyes when I was just 21 changed my life. I mean, having him, of course, birthing him changed my life, and him being with me changed my life. However, that first look into his eyes was like there was wisdom looking back at me that was so amazing, and it made me want to know myself, because I felt like he knew exactly who he was and I didn't know who I was, and it was a little intimidating. You know? And so, you know, for me, both my kids were like my gurus, because I really recognized that they had something great. And at the same time, you know, there are ways that you, first, if you know who your child is, I mean, I have some friends that have a King of Hearts daughter, and I was staying with them last year, and she was like 8 years old. And every morning it was nightmare time getting ready for school, screaming, I don't want to, da-da-da-da. So I pulled the mom aside one day and I said, you know, you have a daughter who's a king, and kings do not like to be told what to do. So can I make a suggestion? And she said, yes. And I said, you might want to ask her what she'd like to do. Would you like me to brush your hair, or would you like to brush your hair? You know, and because it was like screaming matches, you know. And so the next morning she said to her, would you like to brush your own hair? Would you like me to brush it? She goes, will you brush it, Mommy? And every morning before that, she wanted to kill her mother for coming in the room with the brush. Mm-hmm. So just being able to know how to communicate with her and what works for her. They have the King of Diamonds in Mercury, the King of Hearts. You don't tell those people what to do. at all. I don't care if they're 1 year old or 100 years old. They're going to have a knee-jerk reaction to a command that's thrown at them because they're the ones that are supposed to be in command. So when they're little, then you give them the option to choose how they'd like to put them in command. Do you want to do this or do you want to do that?
Right.
You know? And I think that's a really great way to be with kids anyway, because it gives them this feeling that, you know, they have a choice for themselves, and children really ought to be allowed to think for themselves and choose for themselves within boundaries. My oldest son, when he was a teenager, he said to me, you know, Mom, I'm different from all my friends, and the difference is you never told me how to think. You know, you always let me think for myself. And so I gave him the guidelines, but when it came down to, you know, making choices for how he wanted to think about things, I didn't fill him full of my ideas. You know what I mean?
Major.
Yeah, it is. And the kids that are here now,
people are constantly in constrictions of other people telling you what you should think.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly.
That most people, or a lot of people, have never actually questioned themselves.
Yeah.
And what is true for them. And when they do, or when they realize they haven't, it's like their world falls apart.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it's not something people are granted at a young age often.
Well,
by someone that's so close and so supportive, like their main, you know, lifeline. So to
speak. Because we need to teach them how to think for themselves.
Yeah.
So that when they're in a situation and you're not there, they can make a decision. And I think people do that more now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think as a species, very evolving to some degree, you know. But, yeah, there are so many ways to use the wisdom of this system to enhance the quality of our lives, our understanding, and our ability to create in our lives, which... to me, I think we all ought to be doing because it's fun.
Mm.
So I want to thank you for being here today and having this conversation with me.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
You're
it's
welcome.
My privilege.
And I want to thank all of you out there for listening. I also want to invite you to, you know, contact me via email. I do personal readings for people, for those of you that are interested. And, you know, if you have a topic or something that you want to talk about in the cards, please let me know, and I'll do my best to do that. If you want to call in and have a conversation with me, you want to be on the show with me, let me know. I'm really open. I'm really receptive to, you know, lots of things. So you never know what's going to happen. Anytime we reach out, anytime we have an idea, if we take action with it, it usually leads somewhere great, unless it's a bad idea. So thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful week. And I'd love to hear your feedback. For those of you that are politically motivated on what you think about the candidates, you can write on my blog. I'm probably going to do a little bit more of that this week. And I wish you the most wonderful week. And I will see you here next week. Thank you for listening, and thank you to BBS and Don. Bye.